Kevin Shaw's in our studio. He is a segment director for the new Starz Network docuseries called America to Me. Think about this now. Oak Park River Forest High School allowed a camera crew, microphones, the whole shebang, allowed them to come into the school and follow the students, follow the teachers, eavesdrop in on what's going on at OPRF. And they did it for how long? How long were you guys in the school?
Thanks for having me, John. We were there for an entire year, the 2015-2016 school year.
Now the series is out in a 10-part series, right?
That's correct.
I watched the first episode today. I think this is fantastic. I think it is so good. Having seen one episode, having seen some trailers for other episodes, and having seen the network promos for it, because to me, tell me if this is what it is, it felt like, here's what it's like in an American high school, and a good one, OPRF, the model of integration that we think we have here in the city. So it's about what life is like there. Oh, and by the way, race is a much bigger issue than you thought. But it's not about race, and then let's go dig up a story and find some high school kids to talk about it. They're telling the story of OPRF and how race is very much a part of the lives of these kids. I don't know if that's a distinction that sounds like it matters a lot, but I think it does, and I think it makes the show that much more accessible. It, so far, to me, is really good.
That's great to hear, John. I think you nailed it on the head. I think it's more, even more than just high school. It's the community there of Oak Park, which was a community that fought against white flight back in the 60s and the 70s. They were big into integration and kind of held itself up as being this model of liberalism, of being progressive. And when you kind of dive into some of the situations that are going on in the community, you kind of see something a little bit different, especially from the point of view of people of color. You're almost seeing two communities in one there. And that's what we try to kind of tell those stories through the families that participated in the series.
The first episode reminds us that OPRF had an all-school assembly for the black kids one year, 2015, where the black kids were allowed to go, and it was a Black Lives Matter rally. And that was seen as divisive by a lot of people. And then after that, you guys evidently reached out to them and said, or Starz did, and said, hey, we'd like to follow you guys around for a year. I'm amazed that the school said okay, that they greenlit the project.
Well, this was really the idea of Steve James, who is a longtime resident of Oak Park. His three children went to the school, so he was dialed into some of the issues that were going on, having been a community member and having had his kids attend the school. He never thought that we'd be able to do this film in this series just because of that issue of who would want to have cameras in the school if there are these kind of things going on, these issues that need to be dealt with. But it was really the school board there that decided and had the courage and said, we do have this achievement gap here in our school, and we need to really kind of look at ourselves and hold a mirror up to ourselves and see what are some of the issues that are going on that are contributing to this gap. So while the school administration and the principal of the school and the superintendent were not in favor of the filming, the school board was, and a vote by the school board is what allowed us to film in this over that school year.
What was the principal's position on this?
He basically felt that there were a number of issues. One, would the kids be exploited? Was Steve the right person to kind of tell this story through his lens of race, through his perspective as being a white person and a white filmmaker? And we were really committed. He was really committed to make sure that our team was diverse, that our team of segment directors, myself, Bing Liu, Rebecca Parrish, we all have multicultural backgrounds, and the stories that we were going to tell were coming from our voice. They weren't just coming from Steve. So it was really a team collaborative effort. So that was important as we tackled this project.
So you guys then, how do you shoot a series like that? Do you pick individual students to follow, or do you just hang out and see what happens? How do you do it?
Well, I think once Steve and John Condi, who was the series producer and a teacher at Oak Park, once we got the green light basically to do the series, Kind of got the word out to the community that we're going to be filming. And families came to us. We kind of did our research. And
did you do like a casting call? Like, hey, we're going to be there. We're interested in profiling some students.
Kind of, for lack of a better term, just to keep it simple. And we had families approach us. Steve and John did a number of interviews with these families. There's probably, I think, 40 at the time that we were looking at and considering. And from that 40, we ended up picking 7 to start off. And each segment director basically got 2 students and families to follow over the course of that year, and then we ended up picking up 5 more as the year progressed.
Who did you follow?
I followed Keyshawn Kumsa, who you meet in episode 1.
He's the reluctant student, the black kid?
Reluctant student, the one who believes that the school has already got him pegged to be, you know, a delinquent and everything based off of his race. His mother, Danielle, also attended the school, and she had a pretty bad experience there. But yet, despite that, she felt that Oak Park River Forest was the best place for her kids. And you'll learn about her story in this upcoming episode on Sunday. I followed Kendale McCoy, who is another student that you'll meet in episode 2, who has a really interesting story of kind of dabbing into both social circles, one white, one black, through his experiences in being in the band and the wrestling program. And then I followed another student, Gabe Townsell, who you'll meet later in the series. You see him a little bit in episode 2, and he's a very high-achieving African-American student who's also on the wrestling team alongside Kendale.
You know, from the outside looking in, I always thought that OPRF was, as we said, this model of integration, and that it was by design, and that the students got along. The students get along generally, don't they?
Students get along, yeah.
But you know, they segregate themselves too, right?
You definitely see segregation, certainly in the lunchroom and the cafeteria. That's probably a very easy visual indicator of that. You also see it in the tracking of the classes, the AP classes, predominantly white, one or two or three African American students, the college prep track.
How are you able to get this? So there have been instances where, even in the first episode, here's a teacher talking about this one young man whose name you just mentioned, the chemistry teacher was talking about.
Keyshawn, yes.
Keyshawn, and they say, well, you know, he was talking about the academic performance of this young man, and I thought, I didn't think we had access to that information. I didn't think that he could tell us how this kid is doing in class. I thought that was, you know, protected or private or something like that. But there he is, speaking openly about the attitude and the performance of a student. Was that a barrier at all? Was everybody in agreement that you all would be that honest about these kids' performance?
I think for the people that were going to participate in the series, they knew that we're going to need to be honest and candid when we're dealing with these kind of issues. So not every teacher wanted to be a part of the series, and that was kind of like when we were looking at everyone's schedules and deciding what classrooms we could be in. You know, we had discussions with the teachers about what the goals of the series were, and some teachers were comfortable being a part of it, and some were not, and that was fine, and the administration pretty much left that up to the teachers to decide.
But you guys were walking down the hall with a boom mic and a camera and stuff like that, and I mean, how is that not obtrusive or even interfering with the authenticity of that which you're trying to capture?
It can be at first, for sure. I think there is certainly a level of intrusion in the beginning. It's certainly something that you don't see every day in a class, but over time, I believe that you kind of just blend in and you embed yourself in the scenarios, and you try as best as you can to be invisible when you're filming. You know that the camera is there and is probably affecting certainly the truth a little bit of what something might happen there in the scene, but because you're there for such a long time,
yeah,
you will find true moments. You know what I mean?
And that's the key. I think you're lucky too that you're doing this in 2015-16 school year. By that time, we had all become relatively comfortable with what reality TV was. And so the idea that there'd be a camera around somebody isn't as obtrusive maybe as it would have been even 10 years earlier, 20 years earlier. There was a scene, I never thought about this before, at the football game involving the cheer squad and the cheerleaders. Or you talked a little bit about that. And I thought that was really an interesting illustration of the divide. I want you to talk a little bit about that in a minute. We're talking with Kevin Shaw. He's one of the segment directors for America to Me. It's on the Stars Network Sunday nights for another 9 weeks. They are following You Are Too, Oak Park River Forest High School. Kevin Shaw is here. He is a segment director for America to Me, the Stars Network docuseries about Oak Park River Forest High School. It just started last Sunday. It's Sunday nights. There's 9 more episodes to go. You're from the area, right?
I am, yeah.
You did not Chicago. Go to OPRF?
I did not. Chicago born and raised.
No kidding. And then you're a local guy and they contracted you to follow the kids for a year too?
Yeah, basically Steve and I had similar contacts in the industry, and that's how we kind of got to know each other. And the documentary world is pretty small but pretty tight, especially in Chicago.
What a perfect school to examine, I think, too, because I just think Oak Park River Forest is a good school. It's an intriguing school. And is this true? I got this sense of it from the first episode, that the white kids are kind of cool with how things are going at OPRF, and the black kids and their families feel marginalized. Is that true?
Yeah, that's a pretty accurate statement, and that's why we dove into this scenario for sure.
And the school board said, yeah, you can tell that story, which is just amazingly courageous and transparent, if you ask me. So at the football game, talk a little bit about the cheer squad and the cheerleaders at the football game.
Well, it was something that you brought up that you saw as a very good example of the visual divide, of the divide that exists there at OPRF, where one side of the stadium, the majority of the student population and fans and parents are there with the primarily white drill dance team. And on the other side of the stadium is primarily all African American, and in front of them are the cheerleaders, and they are of all different races, racial makeup there. And yeah, it's like even at the football game, the population here is segregated. And what does that say kind of about what's going on here in the community?
And what it looked like on screen anyway was that the cheering and the enthusiasm, the sort of student participation, was coming from the white side of the stands, and the black side of the stands I didn't see or sense as much. Is that a misread on my part?
I don't know if that's totally accurate to say that, you know, the black fans or students weren't totally into the game per se, but certainly there's no mistaking that there was a divide by race in the stands there.
I like the teachers that I saw in the episode.
Yeah, who did you like?
I like the cheerleader coach, the white blonde-haired gal.
Yes. Coach Deanna Polian, yes.
I thought the football coach seemed to be a good guy. I had sympathy for the chemistry and some of the academic teachers because they're sometimes dealing with kids who either can't keep up or won't keep up. And they've got to figure that out and then cross a racial barrier themselves. How does this 40-year-old white man talk to this 17-year-old black male or female about chemistry? I think that's a real challenge, especially if the kids feel like you're not there for me or the school isn't there for me. I think that's a very difficult assignment.
Well, the teacher-student interaction is what's key. And you have to have that relationship in order for the student to succeed. And if a student of color, a black student, feels like this teacher is bringing in their racial bias into the discussion, into the relationship, basically already deciding that this person of color might not be able to achieve, just based off of the racial stereotype of what they look like or how they're acting, well, then that is going to cause the friction that you see from a person like Keyshawn, who believes that, well, everybody in the school already thinks that I'm a delinquent.
I know
so.
That, but Keyshawn, sit up. Stop the body language. Help yourself here. There's a couple of instances where a coach or his teacher will say, I'm here for you. I'm extending myself to you. What are you doing for me? What's your level of participation in this interaction?
I guess if he's a freshman and you say that, then maybe that carries some weight. But there's been like 2 or 3 years of him dealing with the bias there, you know? So after the third year, you're going to be fed up. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, he's a junior?
He's a junior, yeah. So, you know, it's not like this is the first time this has happened. This is daily. You know, this is 365 days of feeling marginalized and feeling invisible, you know? So how would you react after that?
The opening scenes include the freshmen coming into the school for the first day, and they have kind of an assembly for them, and the students are cheering them on, and it's you're so hopeful in that minute, and then reality hits as the series ensues. Really, so far, so good. We're out of time, but anything else you want to just mention about the series as we go?
Well, you know, we're bringing this series to different cities across America as part of our social impact campaign. Right now, there's 10 cities in America where we're doing screenings of America to Me, different episodes, and really hoping to create the conversation in different cities that are dealing with these issues that are brought in our series. It's not just unique to Oak Park. This is happening in many metropolitan areas across our country. So we're hoping that that social impact campaign will not only spark some dialogue, but spark some action.
847 said, John, why would a 40-year-old of any color teacher be awkward talking to a 17-year-old student of color about chemistry? Hey, it's chemistry. Thank you for the text. Thank you for listening. And maybe you could join us again, maybe in a few episodes. Let's come back and follow up on this dialogue.
That'd be great. You watch some more, and I think you'll be just as entertained and more informed and ready to continue the dialogue here.
I'm leaning in, Kevin. Well done. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate you, John. Thank you.
Kevin Shaw's a segment director of America to Me on Starz Network Sunday nights.